Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, September 8th, 2013, Pastor Paul Tolberg. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make Him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's word for meditation is from Luke chapter 14. It begins like this. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen. Over the last couple of weeks, we have been looking at this. We've been looking at basically the first commandment. How it applies to all of our lives. Jesus refers to it again and again and again. The places in which he refers to this, we have looked at because they are troubling to us, because it sure does not sound like Jesus. And again today, it doesn't sound like him, does it? Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." It sure does not sound like Jesus. Jesus saying, if you follow me, you have to hate your family? Jesus is walking to Jerusalem. He's going for a festival. There are tons of people around him. They are following him not to give him hassle, but because they want to follow him. They want to be his disciples. They want to know him better. So Jesus turns around and he says, if you want to follow me, you got to first hate your mother and father and brothers and sisters. I don't understand that. Jesus says, love your parents. He says, honor those who are above you. Jesus says, respect one another. Hold each other in honor above yourselves. So how in the world can he say, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, his wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Even his own life. We're told to take care of our bodies. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Is this the same Jesus here? What's going on? It's a hard part of God's word, and yet at the same time, it's an easy part of God's word to understand. It's just hard to put into practice. And so we have layers and layers and layers of things that we automatically put up so we don't have to address what Jesus is talking about here. And he's addressing that. Give it up for Jesus. That's what he wants. He wants us to give it up. Whatever is in that it. Whatever it is, you give it up to Jesus. And with you, he's telling you point blank, it is impossible. But with God, God's done it for you. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will you not first sit down and estimate the cost? Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to sit down and go against the one who has 20,000? Any one of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. So, should you be expecting me to come around with a big truck to your house this afternoon and ask you to empty the contents of your house into my truck so I can make sure that you can follow Jesus? And then tomorrow we'll go to the bank together. You can empty the contents of your bank into my truck so that you can follow Jesus. We'll stop at the stock market. You can drop all your stocks and bonds in the truck, and then we'll go to Jesus, and we'll follow him, right? Jesus is telling us something that is so obvious, and we work so hard unconsciously to put this down that we don't even see it sometimes. But he says, guess what? I am the first and I am the best. I am the only living God. I am the only one. Everything else does not matter. Doesn't matter how glitzy it is. Doesn't matter what a neat feeling you get from it. Doesn't matter how many friends you get from it. Doesn't matter the fame or the fortune. None of that matters. Because if you don't have me, it's worthless. You and I, every day when we look at the news, we see another sports figure go down the tubes because he's thought too much of himself or she's thought too much of herself, and all of a sudden, they behave without common sense. That goes so often in Hollywood that we think that this is how people are. There's no common sense. There's no common sense with dress, no common sense with speech, no common sense with using God's gifts that he gives to all these people so abundantly. And they give it all up for a little brief flash in the pan. I'm sure you know of a spouse who's given up family and children because they loved an affair. I'm sure you know of somebody who, for the love of a drug, has given up their job and their family, maybe even their health. People are doing all sorts of that following stuff, giving up everything for themselves. And what happens when you give it up for yourself? You can't do anything. And so when you read this part of God's word, the first thing you're struck with is, oh man, I constantly disobey this very first commandment to give it up to Jesus. I don't do it at all. I fall into worry. I keep on wondering about tomorrow. I'm worried about my health. I'm worried about my finances. I'm worried about the weather. I'm worried about the Packers. Well, not really, but. So what happens? When we fall into all those things we so readily fall into, we never just stop for a second and say, wait a minute. I call my Lord Jesus my Lord, my Master, my Creator, my Redeemer. I have no business putting anything above Him. So the first thing this does is it brings us down to our knees because we find out we can't seem to get off the first commandment. We go back and we break that one again and again and again and again and again. What about the second one? Well, we can't even get to the second or the third or the tenth because we keep on getting stuck on the first. We do not hold God first, best, most all the time. And because of that, we fall into sin and more sin and we compound sadness on ourselves. Where is the good news in this? The Bible has law and gospel. Where is the good news? Where this definitely tells me that I have sinned. This definitely tells me I am a sinner. I can't even follow Jesus. If Jesus were to ask me to give up, my car to follow him, to give up, an hour a week to follow him, that's kind of hard sometimes. Sometimes I want to do things my own way, God. Sometimes I really don't want to open up your word because my favorite show is on TV. And God, you'll understand that as I put something else above you again, or my friends again above you. We know we are sinners. This points out that Jesus knows we're sinners. Where is the good news? Large crowds are traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, he said, Jesus knew about these people back then. They're very much like us right now. They fell into worry. We fall into worry. They worshiped other things. We worship other things. They were greedy. We are greedy. They gossiped. We gossip. They abused drugs. We abuse drugs. They hated authority. We hate authority. Guess what? We're the same because we're cut from the same sinful nature, but God in his mercy was traveling with them. He became one of us, a human being, completely like us, except for one thing. He never sinned. He never was greedy. He always honored and obeyed those who were to receive honor from him. Our Lord Jesus was God and is God in the flesh. And he's walking with people, not zapping them every along the way. He's walking with them to Jerusalem because outside of Jerusalem, he has a date with the cross. Terrible way to die. And as he's walking along, talking to these people, they're seeing former prisoners along the road because that's what the Romans did. The Romans want to let you know, we are the guys in charge. We are large and powerful, large and in charge. And if you mess with us, we nail you to a cross and we let you die. And so they would line public highways with these guys on crosses to make sure the population would stay discouraged and fear the Romans. And Jesus said, unless you take up your cross and follow me, and we say we can't do that, he's going to Jerusalem to do that for us. He's going to Jerusalem to take care of our problem for us. He stepped into history because we needed somebody to take care of our problem for us, and we didn't even know we needed him. So he comes into history, is born in Bethlehem, grows up perfect. For 3 years, does a perfect public ministry, never does a thing wrong, only does good from morning till night, and then stays up all night praying to God sometimes. Wow. And then on the cross, he suffers and he dies. They take his body and shove it into a tomb because there's not even time enough for a good, proper burial. And everyone was crying. And everyone was lonely. And everyone is afraid. And everyone has forgotten who Jesus is. Just like we sometimes forget who Jesus is. But that doesn't change who Jesus is just because we forget. Jesus remains the same. And when he comes back to life, what did he say? Peace is yours. If you forgive anyone their sins, they're forgiven. It doesn't matter the armies of guilt and the armies of sadness and the armies of worry that come up against you to crush you. It doesn't matter what huge financial thing is rolling down the highway to hit you. It doesn't matter because God loves you and has removed every burden of sin from you so that you can go to your Heavenly Father with anything and anything at every time of the day. Without a special permit, you just go right to God the Father and you can say, Lord, as I see it, this is my problem. As I see it, you've taken away my sins and what Jesus has done for me. And Jesus says, I can bring you whatever's bothering me. So, Lord, you are number one. I'm sorry I don't keep you there. But thank you for staying there anyway. Here's my problem. Please do something about it. And let him take care of it. And we know that he does. Because that's the promise the living God gave to us. And when he ascended to heaven, guess what? He says that from that time on until the time he returns, he is in heaven making sure that our prayers are not accidentally overlooked. But he's bringing every prayer directly to his heavenly Father. What a good and a gracious God we serve. So you give it up for him. He is well worth it. He has already done everything for us. You can't add a single thing. In Jesus' name, so let us live this week with him still always and only number one in our lives. Amen.